Okay, so we started talking about immunity through uncommon standards. And in our previous session, we spoke about sacred pillars that had to be destroyed. We used the book of Genesis chapter 28 to describe to you how we as sons of God can be an unhewn block of stone and how we can avoid just becoming a sacred pillar. We went through six principles in that particular session where we spoke about how you need to put your head or have the mind of Christ. Secondly, we dealt with the issue of being set up, find your place, know where you are fitting in, be a pillar in the house of God, be an anointed pillar, function with stewardship principles, etc. Now, today I want to do the case study of Daniel chapter 1, and look at why Daniel and his friends enjoyed immunity in an antagonistic environment, or Babylon as we know it. But before we get to that, when we talk about uncommon standards that makes us separate from the world, does not make us aloof, it does not make us exclusive, it does not make us secluded or monastic, it's simply standards that are different from worldly standards. Now, the word uncommon simply means something that is abnormal, something that is uncustomary, something that is unconventional, unexpected, unfamiliar. It may even be strange to some people. It may be outlandish. Oftentimes, people will call you the oddball. They will call you freaky. They will call you weird, etc. So common words that are used, holy Joes, holiest than thou, etc., etc., etc. And all these words that are used are basically used to describe uncommon standards that you are choosing to maintain. And when you do that, in the eyes of God, what the world sees as abnormal, God sees as remarkable. He sees it as extraordinary. He sees it as exceptional. He sees it as outstanding or notable or distinctive or significant or special or superior. So what they would see as uncommon and abnormal, God would see as extraordinary, unparalleled, noteworthy, and distinctive. So the kingdom of God is about uncommon standards. So when you read the book of Matthew chapter 5 through to chapter 7, you will see many uncommon standards that Jesus explained and taught to the disciples about the standards that are required to be part of the kingdom of God. For instance, when you read Matthew chapter 5 through to chapter 7, you will see that the description of murder is now that murder begins in the heart. Adultery is in the heart. It is not literalized anymore. Now, that's an uncommon standard, that if you are angry with your brother, murder begins in the heart. If you lust after a woman, adultery is in the heart. Now, that's an uncommon standard. That's not normal in terms of worldly behavior. Marriage in Matthew 5 to 7 is regarded as sacred and binding. And Jesus refers to the law where he said under the law you could give a certificate of divorce. But under grace, marriage is sacred and binding. The world will tell you that marriage is a partnership. But the kingdom of God will tell you that marriage is a covenant for life and gives you explicit reasons when one can separate from their spouses. Today we are faced with circumstances where people find the easiest of reasons to leave a marriage. This is because I found in my own experience of counseling many people over many years that marriage partners are very selfish. They have their own interests at heart. When you get into a marriage, your own interests die. You have to know that marriage is about death because you have entered into a covenant. And because you are not willing to die, many people have too many problems in their marriages. And it's about their interests. It's about what they want. It's about how I feel. It's about what they must do for me, etc., etc., etc. So you will find that very few marriages have come to the place of self-denial. So this is why there are many issues within the marriage, because we don't understand that the biblical explanation of marriage is uncommon to the world. It's a totally different standard to the world. And when you look at Jesus saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, when you ask someone, are you coming? They'll say, maybe, I might be there. I'm not sure. I will see. Now, that's not a standard. An uncommon standard is yes or no. Don't say maybe, I'm not sure, I'll be there. Maybe means I'm not really coming. I'm not sure if I'm going to be there means I'm not really coming. But let your yes be yes, let your no be no. It's an uncommon standard. It's something that you have to maintain because your word is your bond. When you read Matthew chapter 5 to 6, you will see Jesus will tell you, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, you must go 2 miles. Now, the reason he's using this kind of language, it is not the distance, it is the relationship. That's an uncommon standard. You're willing to make the sacrifice for the purpose of the relationship. So the world will tell you, you wasted my time. Why didn't you tell me that the journey was so long? Why didn't you tell me that this is how long it was going to take? But the uncommon standard nature of the kingdom of God is that I'm concerned about maintaining the relationship. So if I have to walk 2 miles, I'll be patient, I'll be long-suffering, I will bear this long journey that I have to go on, I'll carry the burden and the weight of it, because I'm more interested in maintaining the relationship with the individual. The world will tell you that when you do your charity, you have to make sure everyone knows about it. The kingdom of God will tell you that your charity must be done in secret. The Bible will tell you pray in secret. The church, however, will hold public prayer gatherings to let everyone know that they are praying. The Bible will tell you you must fast in secret. But the church will go on radio station and tell everyone to fast for the Daniel fast for 3 weeks. The world will tell you that when you judge someone, they don't look at their own faults. They only look at the fault of others and they judge. We judge others based on looking at our own self because we don't bring condemnation. Now, the list goes on and on and on about uncommon standards that the Bible clearly outlines for us in terms of how we as Christians, so to speak, as and sons of God, have to live in this world by totally uncommon standards. Now, in Matthew, I'll give you just a few uncommon standards that Jesus upheld while he was on the earth. In Mark 3:33, Jesus' brothers and his family came to see him, and they came and asked for him. And he answered and he said to them, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him, and he said, "Yeah, my mother and my brothers. And whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Now, that does not mean he dishonored them. We see that even while Jesus was on the cross, he made sure that his mother was taken care of. He told John, "This is now your mother, take care of her." We see James, the brother of Jesus, involved in ministry later on. So it was not that he dishonored them in his family, but he shared an uncommon standard that no sentimental tie must hinder me from fulfilling the will of my father. Now that's an uncommon standard in this world. Emotionalism and sentimentalism often hinder people from serving God. I find that people can't come to church because their uncle from Joburg came down and they have to cook mutton curry for him. Now, that's not a standard you can maintain. You have to maintain uncommon standards in the kingdom of God if you expect God to immunize you. Because God is not obligated to protect you when you don't maintain standards that are clearly outlined in his word. So Jesus was giving us an uncommon standard. In John 8, when the woman that was caught in adultery was brought before him, he definitely put up an uncommon standard when he said, "Anyone here that is without sin, let him throw the first stone." And he said to the woman, "Where are those accusers of yours? No one has condemned you." And she said, "No one, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you." And Here he's showing you the standard of no condemnation. The church sometimes in its religious and Pharisaical stance has held on to great condemnation. That is why people were refused the opportunity to partake of the table of the Lord because they were in adultery or because they committed some sin. Things like drunkenness and drug addiction and all of those kinds of sins that are evident to everyone become something that people become condemned about. But the kingdom of God has an uncommon standard of no condemnation. While you are encouraged not to get involved in certain things, it doesn't come with condemnation, it comes with love. You speak the truth in love because we know what is good and what is not good for you. But it does not come with condemnation because condemnation leaves you with a guilty conscience. And God has paid for all that by sending his son to die on the cross. So Jesus is setting an uncommon standard by dealing with this woman that was caught in adultery. Jesus broke the laws of the Sabbath. That's an uncommon standard. On the day of the Sabbath, when his disciples were eating grain from the fields, and the Pharisees asked him, "Why are your disciples doing what is not lawful?" And he used the example of David from the Old Testament, how David, when he came into a certain region, he went into the house of God and ate the showbread. So he was sharing that this is a totally uncommon standard. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. So that which was once religious, that which was once held onto as a law, has now been personified in Christ, who is the Sabbath himself. But he was setting an uncommon standard amongst the people. So you can go on and on in scriptures looking at examples like that of uncommon standards, and you would also see that when people maintained those kinds of standards, there was always divine immunity for them. So uncommon standards will not be accepted by the general, let me use this word here, by the general church population, and even by the world. So the general church population might not accept certain standards because the general church population is moving towards universalism at a very, very fast pace. So you need to understand that when we say uncommon standards, there are even standards in the church that would be different from what the general population of the church will uphold. So if we want immunity economically, medically, physically, socially, mentally, we have to start maintaining some different standards. The year of 2020 was a year to prepare you to look back, to reflect, to go back and ascertain, where am I with God? To look back at our systems that we have had in place and our structures and ask ourselves, are we on the right track with God? So that was a year of preparation. The year 2021 and beyond is now time to implement, to adjust, to make the changes, to look at how our marriages were, how was my relationship with my children, how did I manage my finances, how is my business being run? You had the whole of 2020 to sit down and work that out. What are my goals? What are the things that I want to achieve? Is the things that I want to achieve just based on selfish ambition, or does it have a kingdom value? Does it have something that is going to add value to the church and to the kingdom of God in general? So let's look at Daniel and his friends that were captives and exiles in Babylon. So they were specifically chosen, according to Daniel chapter 1, 3 to 5. The king had certain criteria. King Nebuchadnezzar at that time had a very specific criteria for certain Jews that he wanted to bring in to serve in the king's palace. So in Daniel 1 verse 3, the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of these eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish. Now, firstly, you would notice that he was choosing some people who were the king's descendants and the king's nobles. So these people were of a royal lineage. They were not just ordinary people. They were people that carried a royal lineage in them. That's why he said some of the king's descendants. And this was the king of Judah. And he wanted descendants of their lineage and some of the nobles, those that were involved in an advisory capacity, those that were involved in overseeing administration or governmental duties. And so young men in whom there was no blemish, they were good looking, they were gifted in all wisdom, they possessed knowledge, quick to understand, and had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. So he wanted a very specific kind of people to serve in his palace. They had to have a kingly lineage, they had to be of nobility, they had to have wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and they had to have the ability to serve, and they had to be quick to learn, because they were now going to serve in the king's palace. And when you look at the description of that, you have to see it from a New Testament perspective, and also see it from our spiritual eyes, that you are the king's descendant, because Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are a kingdom of priests. He has made us kings and priests unto the Father. He has given us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And we are called to serve. So when you look at this company that's being described, you can see that it is a description of the church that is now called the Holy Nation, God's precious people, God's special people, etc., as Hebrews chapter 12 describes of us. Now, the king of Babylon wanted the children of Israel to serve in the king's palace and to learn their literature. And this is a picture, when you look at this is a picture of the world that wants us to learn its ways and understand its wisdom, its knowledge, and its understanding so that we can serve its purposes. And Daniel and his friends met the criteria that the king had pointed out. They met his criteria, and therefore they were selected. Today, if you want to study in any university, you got to meet the criteria. There are certain levels that have to be upheld. Rueda is on this call. She's involved in the university. She will tell you that there are certain criteria that you have to meet. If you want to go to medical school, there's a certain criteria you have to meet. If you want to go to study chemical engineering, there's a certain criteria that you have to meet. So the world knows about standards and does not take anyone. It takes the one that meets the certain criteria, because they want to train you in their ways. I've seen so many intelligent young people that were very talented and gifted in the church, serving in the church, were part of the church, and then they went to university. And after year one, something happened to them. They then start serving this world because they don't have any doctrinal foundation about why we are chosen, why we are selected, why God has given us special grace in our lives. So Daniel and his friends were chosen because they met the criteria. They were going to be trained for 3 years so that they could serve the king. And even though they were handpicked to serve the king, they did not compromise their standards. Now, that's called uncommon. And because of that, they had immunity. What immunity did they enjoy? Remember that the 3 Hebrew boys were put in the fire, but not even the smell of the fire was on them, because they met a specific standard. Daniel was put into the lion's den and was not touched because he met a certain standard. So you can see that their immunity was dependent upon maintaining uncommon standards in a worldly system, in a Babylonian system. So I'm going to go through a few this morning, maybe one or two because of time, and then the balance we'll cover next week. So number one, Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, Daniel purposed in his heart. Number one, you must be determined in this world to remain undefiled. Now, we have many temptations in this world, and the Bible tells you no temptation will overtake you except what is common to man. So temptation is not the sin. But the determination not to be undefiled or to remain undefiled is an uncommon standard. It is an uncommon standard. That uncommon standard gives you the right to immunity because you have determined in your heart, you have committed yourself, you have purposed within yourself, as Daniel did, that he will not defile himself with the king's delicacies and with the wine which he drank. Now, when we talk about the king's delicacies and we talk about the wine that the king drinks, the food is now the leaven of Babylon, and it has an influential nature on our thinking and the way we look at life. The wisdom of this world, as shared previously with you, is demonic, sensual, and it will defile us. And the word, you know, the word defile is used in a technical sense to define those that when they are defiled, they cannot be part of the priesthood. Now, Daniel understood this. You see, in Ezra chapter 2, verse 62, when there was a return to Jerusalem and all the Jews were coming back, and you had to prove your lineage or your genealogy, and especially if you were part of the priesthood. But in Ezra 2:62 and also in Nehemiah 7:64, the Bible tells you the priests sought their listing among those who were registered by genealogy, but they were not found, and they were excluded from the priesthood as defiled, or because they were polluted, or they had not maintained the priesthood, therefore they were excluded from the priesthood. Now, the priesthood has changed. The priesthood is not Levitical anymore. The priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek, who is Jesus Christ, the King of peace and the King of righteousness. And such a priesthood knows that when we defile ourselves, we must know that there are certain exclusions that will take place because we have defiled ourselves. We are now a royal priesthood in Christ, and we must be determined not to defile ourselves with the food of Babylon. You can pollute your minds and your souls with impure food that comes from Babylonian systems, whose agenda is to defile your priesthood. Now, you see, the Babylonian food is worldviews. It gives you a specific worldview. Such worldviews redefine gender, they redefine marriage, and they will even redefine your faith. So if you want immunity in Babylon or this world, you have to choose to remain undefiled. So while we work, we socialize, we interact with people at different levels, people of different beliefs, of different faiths, people of different social standings, people of different race groups, we must be determined to remain pure in our beliefs about God and his word. Why? That's your immunity. It will protect you. This is not about trying to show people that you are better than them. No, this is about being resolute. This is about being steadfast. This is about being firm. This is not about standing in your office and preaching and telling everyone, if you don't give your life to Jesus, you're going to go to hell. No, that's not a standard. That's a scary tactic. But being undefiled means that you do not allow the food of Babylon to penetrate your mind, to alter your view, to change who you are, and to allow your image to be altered in the kingdom of God. The curriculums that are taught in school and in universities have to align to certain organizations that fund underdeveloped countries. If you do not meet those criteria of teaching certain things, they call it human rights violation, and they cut your funding. So, if you and I, who are people of discernment and perception and awareness, are unable to see through these systems, our children, our descendants who are rising up after us are not going to have the faith that is in you. Therefore, it is essential for you to teach your children the basic doctrines that we hold on to. And important to inculcate them, because when they go into this system and they do not have any standards to maintain, they will start to question their faith. They will start to question you as a parent about why you believe what you believe. And lo and behold, you may not even be able to answer their question. Because they are going to study creationism. They are going to study universalism. They are going to study the gender issue. They are going to study all kinds of isms in the universities of Babylon. And we have to be adequately prepared to maintain an uncommon standard and not allow them to be defiled. Okay? Because people will start referring to God in a neutral term. Almighty. The big guy up there. They start using neutral terms to talk about God. Because they don't want to be seen as people that serve a monotheistic God. That is, there is only one God. Now, the things that I'm saying to you may not be easy to understand, but I'm telling you it's all around. Don't be surprised when your children come home and ask you questions regarding these matters, because the curriculum is designed to inculcate them with a different way of thinking. They want them to think a different way, so they alter their views. Now, thinking is good. You don't want your child to be in a box. But if their faith is not established in the kingdom of God, then they're going to face circumstances that is going to defile their priesthood. And the only way that they're going to learn is through tragedy, through tribulation, through some kind of difficulties that they have to face, and then realize that they have to put their faith in God. Okay? Now, because Daniel had chosen, made a decision rather, not to defile himself with the king's food and with the king's delicacies. Daniel chapter 1 verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So favor is not because we just say that God blesses us just because we serve him and because he is our God. Favor is because God sees that someone is upholding an extraordinary standard. Someone is standing up for him. That's why you have favor. You can see that even in Joseph's life, in the book of Genesis 39, verse 21 to 22. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prisoner. And the keeper of the prisoner committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Why did Joseph have this favor? Because he did not want to touch what belonged to another man. And we all know how he was seduced by Potiphar's wife, but he said in his heart, how can I do this and sin against God? That was an uncommon standard. He was a slave. No one would have known anything. But he maintained a standard. And because of that, he did not allow himself to defile. Because of that, he had favor from one step to the next. Even in prison, he had the favor of God. So you need to know that when you maintain uncommon standards in business, in your workplace, in your communities, when you socialize with people that are of different faiths and different standards, and you maintain your standard, and they will call you all kinds of names, and that's okay, but you're maintaining a standard, I tell you, you will have the favor of God on your life. This favor doesn't come through prayer and fasting. It comes through people that are determined not to be undefiled. Not to be undefiled. I'm not asking you to be a holier-than-thou individual and to be some kind of person that is just going to be secluded and be away from everyone. No, I'm not asking you to be that person. Jesus sat with such people, publicans, sinners, tax collectors, Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, politicians, all kinds of people. He sat with them, but he maintained an uncommon standard. When you do that, the favor of God will come upon your life. So we need to know that while Daniel was in Babylon, he made a commitment. He was determined. He said in his heart, he purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's delicacies and the king's wine. I'm going to ensure that I stay committed to my God, committed to Jehovah. And because of that, Daniel outlived five kings. He was advisor to all of them, and he enjoyed the favor of God. Favor is not an accident, my friend. When you decide to live by the uncommon standards that God requires of us, you will have the favor of God. I thank God that I can see young people rising up that are determined not to be polluted with the king's delicacies of this world. And I can see favor on their lives. I can see the favor of God coming upon them. Even in their young age, God's favor is upon them because they have made a commitment. They dedicated themselves not to be polluted, not to be defiled with the things of this world. And they will be mocked. They will be scorned. They will be persecuted because Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have persecution. But whatever the Father sees you do in secret, he will reward you openly. And I pray that that generation that we have rising up amongst us, they will have such favor on their lives because they have made just this one decision. I'm going to be determined. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to keep myself for the day of marriage. I'm going to make sure that I'm committed to one person when I get married. I'm going to make sure that I'm committed to honoring my parents. I'm going to make sure that I stay committed to the household of God and the word of God. And when they maintain those basic standards, favor will come upon your life. I just feel that I want to offer a word of prayer now. Because what I'm saying is piercing and I want it to get in. And as I pray for you, whoever you are, just put your hand on your children. Maybe your children are not with you. Maybe they're close to you or somewhere. Just put your hands on them. And believe as we pray together that we'll have a generation that will make a commitment not to be defiled with Babylonian food, not to be defiled with the worldviews that are all around us, that they will not allow the views of this world to change who they are. And so, Father, as I pray for those that are listening to me today, and I pray for the generation that is coming up, I pray for the spirit of Daniel to be on them, that they will not defile themselves with the Babylonian food and wine. They will not allow the leaven of Babylon to enter their system. They will resist this kind of food, and they will choose to remain holy. They will choose to remain committed to God, their Father. And because of that commitment, today I pray, unusual favor will come upon their life. They will see the hand of God overshadowing them. They will see the mighty hand of God propelling them, undergirding them, covering them, protecting them. They will see God doing unique things in their lives, things they never expected to happen, only because they have made a commitment, a determination in their hearts that we will not defile ourselves with the food of this world. And so today I bless them. And as their parents are laying their hands on them, I impart some spiritual gift to them in the name of Jesus, that grace would abound to them today to see the favor of God just because they are committed not to be defiled. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.